Bible this morning to Romans chapter 15. A reading from verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we have once again read from your word, and knowing as your prophet said, every service where your word is spoken is a successful service. And so Father, we could at this point, having read your scripture and finishing in prayer, we could walk out and say truly that we have heard from God. But rather, Father, we ask that your presence would continue with us this morning, that as we would study these words which the Apostle Paul has spoken, that it might help us, Lord, to understand what you mean by being like-minded. So, Father, we commit our hearts and our minds unto thee, and we ask that you would bless this service this morning in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And you may be seated. Now notice Paul says in verse 4 that whatsoever things were written aforetime, in other words, the scriptures were written for our learning. We shouldn't just read it like a book or like a magazine or like a newspaper, but actually we should read it to learn. That through patience and comfort of the scriptures that we might have an earnest expectation. And now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded. And remember, we looked at that word grant last week, and we found that the word to be grant, he says grant you, it means like a grant, it's given, something given to you, but it's not grace in that it is unmerited. It is given to you for a purpose that it might bring forth something. People request grants from the government because they say we want to do a study on this or that. Well, the government is interested in those results, so they say, okay, we'll give you the money because we want the results. And so then the grant then is given, and the people that are given the grant are held accountable to give results. Even if many of those grants are wasted on things like studying the life of a butterfly or something like that. But regardless, God has given us a grant, and that is that we be like-minded. He's given us His Word. He's given us an ability to make a right decision. And so that decision is to be able then to become like-minded. And it's not that, you know, we would all have the same creed and thus we are like-minded, but it means to put on the mind of Christ. Now this morning what I want to do is to continue in this thought of becoming like-minded. And in order to do so, I thought I would answer questions on the Godhead. And the first question that I have is, how can Brother Branham say that Jesus was a dual person when Jesus himself said, I and my Father are one, and when you see me, you have seen the Father? And the answer is, this is probably the most asked question by those with a oneness mindset in our midst. First of all, most people do not read the entire encounter between Jesus and Philip. If you read the entire scripture reference, Jesus explains how that he is one with the Father. But most people will not read the scripture context. No, they read only what will suit their doctrine, whether it be Jesus only or Trinitarian. Now, if you turn with me to John chapter 14, you're going to begin this morning to look at the scriptures in a way, hopefully, if you haven't already begun, to read the entire scripture. Now notice in verse 14, chapter 14, verse 8, we read, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. It'll satisfy us. Jesus says to him, Have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest then, show us the Father? Now this is where most people stop. If they see, Jesus says, when you see me, you see the Father. I and my Father are one. You see? But if you continue to read, he says, Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Now, in reading the entire conversation between Jesus and Philip, it's very apparent that Jesus is telling him and the others that were listening that when you see him, you see the Father, because the Father was in him doing the works and telling him what to say. Therefore, what you saw Jesus do, the Father also was doing or had already done, thus manifesting himself to the world through the speech and actions of his Son, who was 100% yielded to the Father in all things. Now, we have a similar thing having taken place in this hour. You see, William Branham had to have the vision in order to pray, thus saith the Lord. If the hat wasn't on the chair, he would wait until the hat was on the chair. Notice then, that was the Father showing him, that was the Word before expression, because the vision is still invisible to you and I, but somehow he's given an opportunity or an ability to see the Word of God. And so the Word played itself out where he could see the lives of people, and he could see that they would come together, and he could see that this person, what their name was and what the problem was. He saw all that. That's the Word of God declaring to him. So that's the Father doing it. Then when he does it, he is only following suit. He's role-playing, and he's acting out what God has already showed him. All right? Now notice in John 5 and verse 17, if you turn with me, Jesus is being accused by the Jews for working on the Sabbath because he healed on the Sabbath. And his answer to them is found in verse 17. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Now this was not a very satisfactory answer to them, and it only made them much more angry, because instead of kowtowing to their oneness understanding, he was letting them know that it was the Father that was doing the works. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Now, it is very apparent here that Jesus is telling the Jews that he is helpless unless the Father shows him what to do. He says the Son can do nothing. Then the Son cannot save. He cannot heal. He cannot redeem. He can do nothing unless shown by the Father what to do. These are not the words of one who is sovereign. But God is sovereign. One who is sovereign answers to no one. One who is sovereign reigns supreme above all. One who is sovereign is fully independent of all others. Therefore, the Son of God is not and was not sovereign, for he was completely dependent upon the Father to act and to speak. Now notice in verse 20, For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, that he, the Father, is doing. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Notice again that Jesus is speaking of this unique relationship that he had with the Father. He says the Father shows him all that he is to do, for the Father himself is first doing those things, and then shows them to the Son for him to perform. This is exactly what William Branham also had to do. He was completely helpless until the Father showed him first in vision what he had to do. Then in the role as another obedient son, he did what was shown him to do, having seen the Father already performing it in a vision. Before it happened, he then acted out the role to make that vision come from that dimension to this dimension, bringing flesh to the spoken word. All right? In the next verse, we find Jesus again explaining how it works. He says, For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so, and the word even means in the same manner, so the Son quickeneth whom he... Now, who's the he he's talking about? whom He wills. You see, most oneness will take this and say, well, that's who He, Jesus, the Son, wills, because He is the Father. But that's not what Jesus is saying. He says, as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He, the Father, wills. Now look, if William Branham had a vision of you, Ron, and in the vision, you had a hangnail or something, you know, your big toe or whatever, and he was to pray for you for that big hangnail in your toe, right? And he goes up to this Ron and says, I'm going to pray for the hangnail in your toe. You say, oh, I don't have a hangnail in my toe. Well, I'm going to pray for you anyway because it's Ron. Would that heal your big toe? No. You see, Jesus didn't have an option. It's not whomsoever He, the Son, willed. It's who the Father already showed Him that He raised up from the dead. Why do you think He went to the pool of Bethesda, prayed for one person? There was literally probably dozens of people there that needed prayer. He only prayed for one. Because it wasn't His will. It was the Father's will that He went and prayed for that one. God showed Him one person to pray for. And that's who He prayed for. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He, the Father, will. Now in your own thinking, you've read that many times, that it was Jesus, that He, Jesus, raised up whomsoever that He, Jesus, willed. But that's not what it says here. And that's not what Jesus has been saying for the last few verses. He has already been saying that He can do nothing but what He sees the Father doing. And then why would He turn and say, for as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He Himself wills. It's out of context with what He's already been saying. You see how far off the Scriptures everyone reads this. Excuse me. To read it that way, you'll have to completely throw out everything Jesus, the Son of God, has been saying about His relationship with the Father. Now, let's continue in reading what Jesus says concerning this unique relationship He has with His Father. In verse 22, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Now, in order to understand what this is saying, we have to understand what it means by hath committed unto the Son. Now, the word here that is used for the word committed is the Greek word didomi, which we spoke of last week, and that means to grant. Remember, Paul said, I would that God grant you to be like-minded. So God has ditto me, He has granted Jesus to execute all judgment. Okay? Notice Paul uses this word in speaking of God giving us an ability to be like-minded. And he adds according to Christ Jesus. Therefore, he's telling us that as Jesus was like-minded with the Father in all things, so too God has given us the same ability to become like-minded with Himself. So when God is committing all judgment to the Son, Jesus is saying that God has given Him an ability to judge as the Father judges. He is not saying that that His judgment is sovereign, nor is He saying that His judgment would somehow be different from the Father's judgment. But what He is telling us is that He can do nothing except what He has first learned from the Father to do. And if you read it any other way, you are making Jesus a hypocrite. How could He be speaking in one context for several examples and then suddenly change His course? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we do not believe that, we might as well hang it up. All right, so we continue now. Notice, let's just look at this judgment thought. And if you turn with me to John chapter 12, keep your finger in John chapter 5 because we'll be coming back. But in John chapter 12, we're going to read from verse 44. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on Me, believeth not on Me, but on Him that sent Me. Now notice He's telling us here that the things that we hear and thus believe are not His words, but the Father that sent Him. Thus by believing the Son, we are believing the Father. For they are words; they are the words that the Father gave the Son to declare. And then He says in verse 45, And he that seeth Me, seeth Him that sent Me. I am come as a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on Me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. Now remember, back in John 5 and 22, he says, For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And here in chapter 12, he's saying, I judge him not. Why? Because he says, For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So see, it's the word that God is the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Notice how Jesus again tells us that the word that he spoke were not even his own words to begin with, but were the very words of his Father that the Father told him. In verse 49 he says, For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So how can we refuse him that speaketh, when he is only speaking the words of the Father? Now let's get back to John 5 and 23. That all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. Notice, even as, in the same manner that they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. This is John 5, 23 again. Now first we want to point out that Jesus tells us, if we do not give him honor, then we cannot honor the Father that sent him. That ought to tell you that what he is saying, since everything that the Son doeth, the Father has shown him first to do, then we should honor him even as we honor the Father. Because we are honoring the Father through him. Because he is only saying what the Father said. In honoring the Son, we are honoring the Father because the Son is only doing what the Father has instructed him to do. Thus, what we see being done in the Father working and the Son working hitherto. Thus, in giving honor to the Son, we are acknowledging the Father's preeminent role and the Son's role of complete obedience to the Father. Now, excuse me. In reading the next verse, we must remember then the words Jesus is speaking, he had first heard from the Father himself. And so in John 5 and 24, he says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into the condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And we find Jesus clarifying this in John 14 and 10, where he says, The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Notice he is saying, These are my Father's words, they're not my words. This is identical to what we have read in the various other scriptures so far and should need no further elucidation. Now in John 5 and verse 25, we read, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And why is he saying this? Because he has already established that his words, and thus his voice, is nothing short of an echo of God's own words, and thus God's own voice. He is the reflection of God, the expression of God. And he explains that in the next verse. He says, For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Notice then that the very life that Jesus had was given to him by one greater than himself. His life came from the Father, and thus the Father, who is the giver of life. You see, this throws out the Trinitarian concept that all three, the Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Father, were co-eternal. Because Jesus is saying, My life came from the Father. And the very fact that he is a Son shows that he has a beginning. And then the life that he does have, it comes from the Father. He was not co-existent, co-eternal with the Father. He had a beginning. All right, in verse 56, excuse me. Now, in moving forward, we find Jesus saying in verse 27, And hath given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Now, remember we had read earlier in verse 22 that the Father had committed all judgment unto the Son to execute, and we had stated that this was an ability to be like-minded with the Father. Notice in this verse, Jesus tells us that the authority to do so was also given Him by the Father because He is the Son. In John 5:28, He says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing, as I hear I judge, and my judgment is just." Why? "Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." So there you have it. Jesus can judge because God, His Father, knows that He will only judge what God has already judged. He said, "I have not come to do my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me." Then He says, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true." Now notice He said there is another. That is heteros. That's a completely different being altogether. Another. In verse 56 we find out who the witness is Jesus is speaking about. He says if Jesus is consistent in what He has been telling us, then it has to be His Father that He's speaking about, as we see in John 5 and verse 36. He says, "But I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, and they bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. And ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him you believe not." Now, let's stop for a moment and look at another scripture that Jesus is speaking of this judging. In John chapter 8 and verse 16, if you turn with me. And Jesus says, "And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, for I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one man that beareth witness of myself, and the Father is the other man that sent me. He beareth witness of me." Notice he says, "In the mouth of two witnesses, let it be true." All right? Or, as Jesus says, "And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone." Now, if he's not alone, what does that tell you? That there's somebody with him. "But I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me." There's your two men. Not women. Not female Holy Ghost. All right? "Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father?" And they answered, Jesus answered, "Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also." Notice the words of Jesus. He says, "I am not alone." Now that speaks of another, meaning more than one is involved here. And he tells us immediately who that other one is. He says, "I and my Father that sent me." Then he says in verse 17, "It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true." Then notice who those two men are that he uses for his witness. "I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me." Now if Jesus considered himself to be one with God in that way, why would he speak those words? In other words, if Jesus considered himself to be one with God like your finger's one, why would he say there's two here bearing witness? Me and my Father. But they could not see his Father because they did not understand what he was talking about. And so they looked for one that could not be seen and missed seeing that he was living in his Son. They were looking for another visible being, and it wasn't to be that way. God is invisible. Now, in getting back to John 14 and 8, we read, "Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long a time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself." What does the word "of" mean? Out from. "These words are not out from myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." In other words, no man can do these things. Vindication is God doing it. You see? Even Nicodemus in John chapter 3 came to him and said, "We know that you're a man sent from God, because no man can do those things except God be with him." Obviously, from what we've seen so far, Jesus is not saying here that he and his Father are one like your fingers one. But what he is saying is this, is that the same word that is in the Father is abiding in him, and that makes him one with the Father. Brother Brown further clarified this in the sermon, "Show Us the Father." He said, "Now as many times it's been said that no man can see God at any time." The Bible said that. "But the only begotten of the Father hath declared him." And Philip here was a very inquisitive, and he wanted to see the Father. And he says here, he said, "I've been so long with you, Philip, and you don't know me?" Said, "When you see me, you see my Father." In other words, you see the Father express himself through the Son. Him and the Father were one in the sense that God, his Father, was dwelling in him. Not him doing the works. He was a Son himself, a mortal, virgin-born Son of God. And then in him was dwelling the God, the Father, expressing himself to the world. His attitude towards the people, you see. Well, that's how Christ and God were one. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And now he said, "When you see me, you see the Father." And why do you say, "Show us the Father"? And again in the sermon, he swore by himself. We can find William Branham clarifying that this is what he was meant by Jesus when he spoke to Philip. Because he said, "I and my Father are one. My Father is in me." He said, "Show us the Father." And Philip said, "Show us the Father and it'll satisfy me." And Jesus said, "Philip, I have been so long with you and you don't know me." He said, "When you see me, you see the Father. And why sayest, 'Show us the Father'? I and the Father are one. My Father's living in me now. It's not me that doeth the works. It's him that dwells in me that does the works." Oh my. How could I tell a man what was wrong with him? Now, Brother Branham is bringing it down to present tense. How could I tell him what his future will be in 10 years or what he was 40 years ago? It isn't me. Hallelujah. It's him that lives in me. That come down, that through his blood brought me in fellowship with him. Hallelujah. How can my hands do anything by healing the sick? It hasn't got a bit of power. It's not me, but it's him that dwells in here that does it. And since three is a witness, let me share one more quote with you where William Branham elucidates my point that Jesus and God were one by reason of the fact that the Father was abiding in him, directing him by his own word. From the Message conference, Brother Branham said, when he said, "It's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father. He dwelleth in me. Me and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. My Father dwelleth in me." And he did the same works that he did when he dwelt in that body standing there before Abraham. So then the one that was there, the body that he could say, "I and my Father are one." See, from the Message, "As I was with Moses," Brother Branham said, "when Jesus of Nazareth," I believe that the Father, he says, "I believe that the Father was in him, that all the great things that was the Father's was given unto his Son, all the great blessings and gifts, for he was just expressed image of the Father. And in him dwelled all the richness of God dwelling in him there, looking up. And he said, 'I and my Father are one, my Father dwelleth in me.' Just as Jehovah was, or Jesus was, he was the expressed image of him. He was God shaped out here, and all the powers of God formed into and put into a human body. He said, 'It's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works.'" From the Message, "Gifts," Brother Branham said, "Now in Christ dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He had all the Spirit of God in him. 'I and my Father are one,' said Jesus. That's the reason the people couldn't understand him. Sometimes he says something, might look like he'd turn around and say something different. It was him speaking, then the Father speaking, see? And even the disciples could not understand him. And right at the last they said, 'Lo, now speakest thou plainly. Now we believe by this, if you know all things, no man needs to teach you.' And Jesus said, 'Do you now believe after all that time?" They couldn't get the why? that sometimes he'd say this and then say that. It was him and the Father speaking. Again, from the Message Gifts, paragraph 30, he says, that was paragraph 29, he says, now notice closely, now God dwelling in Christ used his voice to speak by. Jesus said in his miracle, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself, but what he sees the Father doing, that doeth the Son likewise. Is that right? St. John 5:19. Then he did not do nothing within himself. No prophet ever did anything within himself until first God showed what to do. What a mistake Moses made when he went out without a vision of God and smote down the Egyptian. He thought he'd liberate them with his own hand because he thought that he had a lot of faith and could do it because he was called for the job. No matter how much you're called for the job, God has to do the leading, see? He failed of all of his schooling and his military mind and his training as a great Egyptian leader. But yet it failed because God had a program, and we've got to work according to God's program. No matter what we do, how smart we are, we've got to humble ourselves and work according to God's program. Amen. So he failed, and God had to keep him another 40 years to educate him. So what it was? That he must forget himself, and it's not him, but it was God. From the Message Supersign. When he was here on earth, he proved that he was God. Proved that God was in him. Because the signs of God followed him. He said, if I do not the works of my Father, then believe me not. But if I do the works of my Father, if you don't believe me, believe the works, the sign, Emmanuel. I and my Father are one. My Father has sent me, and as he sends me, so send I you. The Father that sent me is with me, he's in me, and doing the works of himself. It's God in flesh. There's your John 3:14. And the Word, God, became flesh. All right? Now, from Revelation chapter 1. He was a true and faithful witness to God's eternal Word. He was the Word, was God's Word, and being the Word, he was a prophet. For the Word of God flowed through him. He say only the things, I can do nothing within myself but what the Father shows me to do. Not me that doeth the works, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. I and my Father are one. My Father's in me, said Jesus, the man, the tabernacle. Now, from Sirs, we would see Jesus. Well, they could have said, our men are educated, we're smart, we know the Bible from generation to generation. Why then, why don't God make it live again in them men if it's God's Word? I and my Father are one. Not three, we are one. God is in him. God speaks through him. He's no more his own, but he's God's voice through human lips. Hallelujah. From Sirs, we would see Jesus. He said, Jesus said so. Argue with him, not me. I'm just saying what he said. I and my Father are one. It's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father. He dwells in me. If you don't believe in me, believe the Word. Because he is the Word, and the Word is made flesh, and I am. In the beginning was the Word. From Q&A, Image of the Beast. And God came down and dwelt in his Son, Christ Jesus, making him God on earth. When Thomas said, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices, he says, I've been so long with you, and you don't know me. He said, why sayest thou, show us the Father? Why, he said, when you see me, you see the Father. I and my Father are one. My Father dwelleth in me. And from he swore by himself, he said, and God himself, living in this, making a tabernacle, and he dwelt in Christ. There's God walking around. He said, I and my Father are one. My Father is in me. He said, show us the Father, Philip. And Philip said, show us the Father, and it'll satisfy me. Said Philip, I've been so long with you, and you don't know me. He said, when you see me, you have seen my Father. And why say, show me the Father? I and the Father are one. My Father's living in me now. It's not me that doeth the works, it's him that dwelleth in me that doeth the works. Oh my. And from Hebrews chapter 1, Thomas said, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll satisfy us. He said, I've been so long with you, and you don't know me. He said, when you see me, you see the Father. And why say, show us thou the Father? I and the Father are one. My Father dwelleth in me. I'm just a tabernacle called the Son. The Father dwells in me. Not me that doeth the works. It's my Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works, not me. And from show us the Father, he said, God in his Son. Do you believe he was? He looked like God. He acted like God. He said he was God. He cried like God. He healed like God. He died like a man. And he rose like God. He was God manifested in the flesh. God was in his Son. Do you believe it? God was in his universe. You believe it? God is in his Word. You believe it? God is in his Son. You believe it? Could you see him in Christ? Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. Why sayest thou, show me the Father? God was in the Son, reconciling the world to himself. Now, God in his universe, you believe it? God in his Word, you believe it? God in his Son, you believe it? Now, you know, they're all crying out, God in his Word, God in his universe, not God in his church, but they won't accept the fact that God was in his Son. No. See, that's different. God was the Son. From the unveiling of God, Jesus once said, when you see me, you see the Father. See, God and his Word is one. How do you like that one? God and his Word is one. Now you understand? When the Word is manifested, what is it? Right, see? Jesus says, search the Scriptures. You think that you believe in God, believe also in me. If I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do the works, I and my Father are one. When you see me, you have seen the Father. And when you see the Word made manifest, you see the Father God. Because the Word is the Father, the Word is God, and the Word made manifest is God himself taking his own Word and manifesting it among believers. Nothing can make it live but believers, just believers. And from the masterpiece. There in his own image, reflecting God, for he said, St. John 14, when you see me, you see the Father. And then in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was hewed out and reflected what the Word was at the beginning. Him, the Word, reflected in the masterpiece in his own likeness. God back again in his own likeness. The Word form being reflected in the image of a man. The masterpiece. All the prophets had flaws. All the ones was a portion. But here at last, coming up through that, finally comes the masterpiece, the perfect one, no faults in him at all. So perfect, reflected of the builder himself. His own image was reflected in his work. God and Christ were one, insomuch until he put his own spirit in him. And then even the image and the builder became one. God and his sculpture work, his masterpiece. When Moses was in the work of Michelangelo, was a sculpture work that was dead because it had been made out of stone. But here the master builder, when he got his handiwork perfected, he stepped into it. You see the beauty of these things, Brother Branham's saying. Now, that brings us to question number two. What then do we do with that quote where Brother Branham said that Jesus and God were one, but not in the same way as a husband and wife are one? How does that fit with what you're saying? All right, notice how Brother Branham used the same quote twice. But the second time, he elucidates his point much more clearly than the first. And yet, if you understand the doctrine, you won't have trouble with the first quote because you will know what he's saying. Now, here's the first quote. This is 1957. The next one comes a year later in 58. Please explain the Trinity. How can the Son sit at the right hand of the Father, interceding to the Father, notice, to the Father, if they are not two persons? Well, beloved friends, that's a revelation. If Jesus said, I and my Father are one, then how can they be two? Now think about what he's saying here, because you could take everything he's already said, take all the scriptures I've already read, and this one quote can throw you in a whirl, and it'll blow your mind. Because Brother Branham says, how can he be two? Then how can they be two? See, now they're not two. And again, when you listen to Brother Branham, you got to then ask yourself, what does he mean by they are not two? You don't automatically suppose now that these are not two, but how does he mean that they are not two? Because he's already told us many, many times that it's one who's God, he's Spirit, and he indwelt his Son. All right? Let's read on. Then how can they be two? See, now they're not two. The woman once said to me, and I was explaining that, and said, you and your wife are two, yet you're one. And I said, but God and the Son is different from that. See? I said, you see me? Yes. Do you see my wife? No. I said, then father and son's different. Jesus said, when you see me, you've seen the Father. See? The Father and the Son. The Father was Almighty God dwelling in a tabernacle called Jesus Christ, which was the anointed Son of God. Jesus was a man. God is a spirit. And no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father has declared Him. He, what He was, His personality, His being, His deity, whatever He was God. He was nothing less or nothing more than God. Yet He was a man. He was a man, a house that God dwelt in. That's right. He was God's dwelling place. Now, the oneness can accept that. And the oneness will say, see, He's not two, like husband and wife are two. Now, if I were to be standing next to my wife, you could say the two are one because they're married, they're one, they're united by, you know, common cause, common children, whatever. But there's two beings there. But He said, but God and His Son were not the same way. Now, have you figured it out? Because my wife can't be in me. She's a physical being. I'm a physical being. Yet God is not a physical being. He's an immortal, invisible spirit. Therefore, there's a difference. Notice that Brother Branham pointed out that we are not talking about two physical beings, like a man and a wife are two physical beings. But he explained that there is one that was a man, and we know to be a man, you must have a body, a soul, a spirit. But in that man was fully, that was fully man, indwelt the God, the Father, who is spirit, thus making them one by the indwelling. But notice in this next quote how Brother Branham is more specific and shows that the oneness of God and His Son is not like husband and wife, and he is more clear as to why they are different. Now this is a beautiful quote. From the baptism of the Holy Spirit, preached September of 58, he says, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. My Father dwelleth in me. No one could read that any plainer. They said, why don't you show us the Father and it'll satisfy us? John 14 and 8. And he said, I've been so long with you and you don't know me. He said, when you see me, you see my Father. And as a lady once jumped up and she said, why, Brother Branham? She said, the Father and the Son are one, just like you and your wife are one. And I said, oh, no, you're not. I said, do you see me? She said, yes. I said, do you see my wife? She said, no. I said, then they're not the same kind of one. Jesus said, when you see me, you have seen the Father. The Father dwelleth in me. My wife don't dwell in me. See, they are one. In every way, they are one. So you see how he comes back and he says, my wife doesn't dwell in me. That answers that question. From palmer and locust and caterpillar, he said, God Almighty, the Father, dwelt in him. At the day of the baptism, when he received the Holy Ghost, on the day when John baptized him, John said, I beheld and saw the Spirit of God like a dove descending from heaven. And the voice said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased to dwell in. Jesus said that God was with him. I and my Father are one. My Father dwells in me. Not Jesus and being one with God. But God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. And you oneness, brethren, many of you get off the wrong track when you try to think that God is one like your finger is one. He can't be His own Father. He can't be. Now, I want to show you the hypocritical nature of those who preach against what we stand for in one simple prayer that Jesus preached. All right, if you turn with me in your Bible to John chapter 17. And reading from verse 11, we read, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. And how is it that we might be one, even as, which means in the same manner as Jesus and His Father were one? Jesus said in verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Jesus tells us we become one with God through the same word that He became one with God. In verse 20, He says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which also shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So then what produces the one? The glory, the doxa, the mind. Therefore, if it is very apparent that we are only one by receiving the same word, which brings us into the same glory or the same mind as the Father. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them that for the purpose that they might be one, even as we are one. From the harvest time, Brother Branham said, Jesus said that they might be one, Father, as you and I are one. Not for some man to be over something. It never will work. One denomination wants to take over the other, and one man over the other. But that you might be one with God, like Christ and God was one. That's what the prayer is. That He was the Word, and Jesus prayed that we might be the Word reflecting Him. That's His prayer to be answered. See how Satan scruples it up into the carnal mind? But that wasn't Jesus' prayer at all, that we might all congregate together and all have a certain creed and so forth. Every time they do it, they go further and further from God. He wants us to be one with God, and God is the Word. Each individual in his heart must be that one with God. So you see, you can be just exactly the same one with God as Jesus was one with God. Because He prayed that you would be. Now that doesn't make you and God one being. God is a separate being. He's your Father. But by the same Word, the same life that comes from the Word, you have God's life in you, you have His Spirit. You have His Word. My words are Spirit and they are life. Now I hope these questions and answers to these questions has helped you to better understand. Next week we'll continue to look at this oneness with God and His Word, and we'll look also to explain some of the other arguments that have been thrown our way concerning their wrong understanding of the oneness of God, such as Isaiah 9 and 6, and how Jehovah could be born over a manure pile, and several other lame arguments that are being bantered about with pomp and arrogance. Let's just close our hearts and close our eyes and bow our hearts and our minds in prayer. Dear beloved Father, full of mercy and grace, we acknowledge that we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. But through the instrument of your word, you have caused us to be overcomers and have transformed us by the renewing of our minds, that we might be conformed to the image of your Son, that he might be the eldest in a vast family of brothers. Grant to us also, Father, that we be like-minded, even as your Son Jesus was like-minded with you, that you might be in him, and he in us, and we in you. For you are the Word, and we ask this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom he was said, I and my Father are one, and I pray, Father, that as we are one, so they might be one also with us. The same mind, the same Word, the same life, the same Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.